Hi, Sue. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Zuleika. And I hope you've had a good recovery from your school career.
Yes. Sue, if you look at normally a sedentary lifestyle can make one resist the idea of exercising, but this can also have something to do with the gut and brain chemistry, as we will soon find out. But firstly, Sue, explain what is meant by the term exercise intolerance or exercise resistance.
Now what is the difference between the two? Because exercise intolerance is a known term, and it particularly applies to people with thyroid or autoimmune disorders.
Yes.
And when they exercise, they don't get any fitter and they feel bad. And we tend to look at people like that and say, well, if you don't exercise and you're feeling tired, you must just keep exercising.
Yes.
And we push these kind of people, but there's an underlying problem. So not everybody's actually medically fit to get up and exercise to the point that they're straining their body. And what we're going to be talking about are the gut microbes that give us a runner's high.
Yes.
But that's all to come in the future. But exercise intolerance is unfortunately what happens to people with impaired thyroid glands. You know, the thyroid
Yes.
is like your battery, your electrical center. It's like your Eskom supply.
Yes.
And that's why you also do have these load shedding episodes.
Yes.
Your thyroid reckons, do you want to go and exercise? Well, I've only got just enough energy and oxygen to breathe.
Yes.
So now if you're going to start running around the block, I'm going to feel ill. And
yes.
and people can collapse after exercising. Yes. And they feel ill and they feel tired for days after. And then, of course, we say, oh, it's all in the mind. You're
yes.
just being a hypochondriac.
Yes.
And it's unfortunately that not everybody is a normal human being with a sedentary lifestyle.
Yes.
Thyroid people tend to have a different problem and they get classified as exercise resistant. Whereas
okay.
they are actually exercise intolerant.
Yes.
But Zuleika, most of us tend to think we are exercise intolerant.
Yes.
We feel it doesn't agree with us. We don't feel motivated to do it. And you see, the thing is, if you've never experienced the reward
yes.
of getting those feel-good chemicals coursing through your veins, you know, the endorphins and the endocannabinoids they're now talking about,
yes.
it won't be real to you that you can feel good after exercise. So the talk we're going to do today is to sympathize with the people who genuinely have exercising issues, where they don't feel nice after exercising. And then you sit next to them and say, oh, I'm wonderful, I'm kicking off my runner shoes now, and oh, my face is glowing, I feel just so fantastic, and they're lying there nearly half dead saying, I can't breathe, I feel I'm going to collapse any minute now.
Yes.
So we should actually say to all people, for those who don't have thyroid issues, who don't have chronic fatigue, who are not anemic, it is good and it's almost addictive to exercise as hard as you can, push, push, push every day a little bit more. But what I'm going to be sharing with you in this talk is my own journey into the very beginning of Nature Fresh, way back in 1995, 96, 97. I was just such a person with the thyroid problems, with the adrenal insufficiency, with chronic fatigue. And I definitely didn't like exercising, and exercise didn't like me.
Okay.
So we're going to slowly unravel the story of it's not impossible to change all that in your life. But you have to be honest and say, right, it's not working for me. And instead of then sitting back and eating more Cook's Sisters and chocolates to say, you know what, I want to change. What are the first steps I have to take? And I wish I'd had Sufis to talk to me then.
Yes. So what did you do to change? I mean, we're just moving away, but will you be discussing that in the course of the program?
The main thing is I knew I had to exercise, but I wasn't strong enough to do very much.
Yes.
So I started my career in martial arts by doing Tai Chi.
Okay.
You know, these slow movements. But, you know, just standing used to make me want to faint.
Okay.
I couldn't get through the class, just standing, doing the movements, all soft and gentle, and staying vertical. And I was very jealous of the people who used to come into the class after us and do karate. I wanted to be one of those people.
Yes.
And so the big breakthrough with me was when a doctor was, I'd slipped at the skin in my neck or something, and he was trying to put my neck straight. He looked at my hair and he looked at my skin and he said, you know what, you seem to have a thyroid problem.
Okay.
He says, your hair is dry, your thing. He says, do you get tired in the morning? Do you feel like this? Are your hands and feet very cold? I said, yes, yes, yes to all of it. Mm-hmm. And he put me on the magic drug that all these people take called Eltroxin.
Mm-hmm.
And of course I felt like $1 million.
Yeah.
Then I could exercise, then I could run, I could train hard, and that is why I know it was something with the thyroid. Now this could be the same case with you people.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some of you are on thyroid medication. If you're on thyroid medication and your thyroid is now working, then there's no reason why you shouldn't exercise. But I was one of those rebels who said, you know, if I'm taking a thyroid hormone, my body's not going to generate it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the Sufisa, you know, the one who got
yes.
up, did her research, did her homework, and found out what had happened to my thyroid.
Okay.
And the bad news was, I found it was wheat.
Oh, it was wheat, so you stopped eating wheat.
Eating wheat. Wheat was causing an autoimmune attack on my thyroid gland, as
mm-hmm.
well as my adrenal gland.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a long journey to get to the fitness level.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third problem I had, which is why I know when you are exercise intolerant as opposed to resistant, was I was also anemic.
Okay.
And the anemia also was linked to the wheat and the gluten. So that's why I'm pretty strict. When I say you need to give up bread, I'm not joking, because I had to do that
yeah.
to get to my point where I overcame the exercise intolerance as well as the exercise resistance. So now we're going to find out, what is exercise resistance?
Yes.
Is it in the mind? Do you think it's in the mind, Zuleika?
No, well, after what you told us, definitely not in the mind.
It is in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the mind is being controlled. We know now, there's been a lot of research with what they call the gut biome. You know,
oh, yes.
The whole environment there. We'll go into it a bit more in detail. But depending on all the bavewinners that you've got, you know, they're teeming millions and billions of bacteria
yes.
within our digestive system. That actually control the way we think and feel, the food that we crave, our energy levels. And they've been linking it to things like heart conditions, of all things, you know. And especially now with all this COVID business and people getting ill,
mm-hmm.
they find that when they give them lots of antibiotics,
yes.
that's when you get this exercise resistance. You just mentally don't feel like exercising. And on top of that, you do tend to get depressed. We know there's a gut-brain connection.
Yes.
Especially to depression and feeling bad. We've spoken about that. But the desire to exercise and the benefits you achieve when you are exercising are also mediated by the gut flora.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't my imagination.
Yes.
I was actually... you know, I get sent a lot of medical articles every week to review, and this one I liked. I liked the idea of the gut telling us to exercise and making us feel good because we do exercise. I thought, that's up my alley. It's not going to cost me anything
yes.
to read that. And they, of course, had to experiment on mice because mice are actually good athletes. They run on their little, you know, the little treadmill, the
yes.
little roller in the
okay.
exercise machine. So they took two mice, and they found they loved running on their little things. Then the one mouse, they dosed it full of antibiotics.
Yes.
So it wiped out all the gut microbes in its stomach. And it didn't even want to get onto the exercise wheel.
Okay.
So they forced it to. But it got tired and it dropped off, and it didn't want to get back on the wheel at all.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the mouse with the normal gut biome seemed to want to get onto that exercise wheel every day, and it seemed to feel really good. I don't know how you see his mask and smile or what. The little creature was happy. It wanted to get back on that wheel, and it ran and ran and ran and ran, and then after the run, it was running around and it was looking very pleased with itself. mm-hmm. and the other one just did not want to get on the wheel. So how does that work?
So we're saying that antibiotics interfere with exercise motivation and performance.
We do. And it's complicated, but the biochemistry is basically that, you know, we have this reward reflex with the neurotransmitter called dopamine.
Yes.
You know, it gives you confidence. It makes you want to get up and fight. That's what I missed when I had Tai Chi.
Yeah.
It was just all very calm and relaxing. I didn't have that fight, the dopamine in my body.
Yes.
That's what I wanted. And the dopamine is a very overt, positive kind of a signal impulse that you get in your body. And that's why often people will get up and, you know, dogs will get up and run and fetch a biscuit.
Yeah.
They'll take the effort because they know the reward is the biscuit. But it's actually the feeling of achieving something. People with low dopamine levels are underachievers.
Okay.
So you want that dopamine to signal into your body that you're feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
But it degrades very soon by there's a compound called monoamine oxidase. All right, I'm not going to pump chemistry at
yes.
you, but your body sends that signal to stop making more dopamine so that you just don't go around and around in ever excited circles.
Mm-hmm.
So it generates this dopamine antidote.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens too soon sometimes, so you don't get enough of a reward. Now, what your gut microbiota do is they make a chemical that is a fat-based chemical that makes you have a gap between immediately making the antidote, the monoamine oxidase. So it inhibits that production, which means that your dopamine fires on all your neuroreceptors for longer. And the more you run, the more of this chemical you make, so the better you feel. And it kicks into your little memory bank, and you say, right, I can't wait to go for a run tomorrow because I'm going to feel even better. And you do feel better. And these are the people who just are so enthusiastic. I know quite a number of people. The biggest surprise was my own son, who definitely was exercise resistant. You know, you couldn't get him to get up and run
mm-hmm.
until he joined a running club.
Okay.
And now every Saturday morning, he can't wait.
Okay.
He's getting that reward because he comes back and he says, how are you feeling? He says, I'm euphoric. I just feel so good. I just want to go. I can't wait to get my black T-shirt after another 100 runs.
Okay.
And when you know a person very well and you can see this direct change in personality,
mm-hmm.
and you know it's come from someone who was, you know, an introvert, worked on their own, they just like to be quiet, like to be left alone.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the microbes there who are not behaving very well. But something's changed. He has been eating a lot of fermented foods. He's been taking a lot of probiotics,
okay.
cooking his own food, making his lentil sprouts. And, you know, he's got a friend who's into these kind of foods now, and he's eating more of them.
Okay.
So I've personally witnessed this exercise resistance crumble.
Okay.
And it's as a result of, A, the diet change,
mm-hmm.
and B, to just trying it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us are too wary of, what, join a running club
mm-hmm.
or make myself run around the block every, you know, mm-hmm. once a day. Oh, come on.
Mm-hmm. So walking is not going to increase that dopamine.
No.
I mean walking.
Again, the rats, they made the one group
yeah.
just go at an easy pace, and
yeah.
the others, they made them just push slightly beyond so that the extent of exertion, Zuleika, they say, it's like if you're exercising and you can chat while you're doing it, you're not doing it hard enough.
Yes.
So you've got to challenge yourself, you know, going up three flights of stairs, are you going to, you know, take a rest after five steps, or are you going to charge all the way up and then pant?
Okay.
That's what they mean.
Okay, okay.
And again, check yourself. If you've got something wrong with your thyroid, genuinely, this will tell you there's something wrong.
Yes.
Because if you do this type of exercising repeatedly, you start to enjoy it.
Yes.
And that's the space I got into where I used to broadcast on Radio 786 just about every morning. And that was my rule. I used to do the radio show with my running shoes on.
Yes.
After that, I used to take off for three quarters of an hour.
Yes.
And I loved it. It just got better and better. But it didn't get better, and I didn't have enough oxygen until I had to give up all the wheat. And then it still didn't get better. I had to give up the rye bread as well.
Oh, so, okay.
You know, there is a long learning curve on regular exercise, and most people who tell you to exercise are a bit of a pain in the ass. But I've been there, done it.
Yes.
And I promise you, if you don't get it right, you need help.
Okay.
It's not all about a bad attitude.
Yes. So it's also the gut.
The gut microbiome is where most of us have fallen short.
So, before you continue, what do we mean by microbiome?
Yeah, now the microbiome, it's a very good question. It is the part of you, 90% of your microbial world within your body is alien. It's not yours. Now, that's a creepy one, isn't it? You've got to sleep on that one. It's true. All the bacteria and the fungi and the algae and the viruses, there's a lot of microorganisms that reside within the gut lining. You know, now the gut is basically all the tubing that goes between the stomach and the exit point at the anus. That is all the gut, all that tubing. And different environments within the short intestine has got a basically acidic environment. And the colon, as you know, that's about 6 feet or 2.5 meters of it's more alkaline. So you have to make sure that you understand there's two different environments.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us have actually got an imbalance between the two. So you have to make sure you are replenishing all the right raw materials for these little critters to feed off. If you feed the wrong kind, you're going to get the candidiasis, you know what they call the candida.
Mm-hmm.
And that can make you very grumpy, very lazy, and very exercise resistant as well.
Okay.
Because your gut is in conflict with the brain.
Yeah.
It's not going to generate those feel-good chemicals, you know, the endocannabinoids. Now, while you've asked me what is the gut microbiome, we must also explain what an endocannabinoid is. And this has got nothing to do with cannabis and smoking and drinking all sorts of stuff that will give you that high for nothing. That is not what we're talking about. The receptors that produce the pleasure and that have an anti-anxiety effect, we all have these receptors within our body. And the chemical that we make is called an endocannabinoid because we make it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this has a lot to do with the way the dopamine also interacts with these feel-good chemicals and gives you what we call the runner's high. You've heard about the runner's high.
Yes.
I don't know if you've experienced
it. Yes.
But that is our goal this afternoon. We're talking about how can all of us get into that space. And it's to do with if you've got a gut that hasn't got the right bacteria in it. Let's just say, for example, if you're suffering from an overgrowth of yeast,
yes,
a condition we call candidiasis, you are way off target. You're not going to get there. And if you've been taking lots of antibiotics, and especially if your stomach isn't right, and you may have experienced a bit of diarrhea as a result of taking the antibiotics, then you don't have the right microbiome within. So these teeming hordes of bacteria, we like to call them, my favorite family within there, it's called the gut flora, the beneficial bacteria.
Yeah.
It's a nicer word to use. And we know that we can put them all back pretty quickly after antibiotics by taking your probiotic supplements. And even if you don't want to take an expensive supplement, you can at least start with what the doctors say.
Yeah.
Take some yogurt, eat some Marmite. You know, those are the basic lines that you put in. But you do need all the other strains. There's different groups. Some are what we call blue-green algae. Some are light sensitive. Some work in acid mediums. Some work in alkaline mediums. But they seem to sort themselves out down within all the tubing. So nature is pretty wonderful the way it organizes itself. And the chemicals all get made in there. There's another very important chemical that they make, and that's called serotonin. Yes, you know what serotonin
is? Yes, the feel-good hormone.
Yeah. And I know that some people, to get more serotonin
when they eat chocolate
in their bodies, they take the selective serotonin uptake inhibitors, the SSRI, whatever. I think it's called Prozac. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, Vascomin, I'm not quite sure of the names, but they take antidepressants. So it's not as if they don't make the serotonin.
Yes.
But again, the degradation, the decomposition breaks down too quickly. So they pick up with the serotonin, it doesn't stay there long enough. Yes. But I'm talking now about the dopamine one. It doesn't stay there long enough to give you that really good feeling because it's breaking down. We have now found out that the gut microbes prolong the effect of the dopamine. But with serotonin, they actually help you to generate more and more and more of the stuff. So if there's more of it, it's going to engage with more and more receptors for longer anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But an unhappy gut means an unhappy person. Now we know an unhappy gut means a person who becomes exercise resistant.
Yes.
It becomes a person who is just not motivated.
Mm.
So we have to cooperate with this microbiome of ours.
Yes. So our microbiome, we need to, how does our microbe motivate us to start as well as persist with exercise if we have wiped it all out?
Well, you see, it's very difficult because especially after all this COVID and, viral diseases, even normal colds and flu.
Yes.
If you've taken antibiotics, and there's no point in taking antibiotics if you're dealing with a virus.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, doctors say, take them just in case.
Yes, yes.
And I think the worst thing that doctors say is, you must finish the course of antibiotics.
Yes, always get that.
They always say that. You know why they say that?
Mm-hmm.
Antibiotics are expensive, so finish them all up so you can buy more, is basically what they're saying. And you know, in case you leave some germs behind. But what they've overlooked is the fact that you are going to wipe out the good guys and the bad guys.
Yes.
And Zuleika, I've had some pretty highly animated arguments with Dr. Vapasa saying, why do you have to take 10 antibiotics when you only need one or two? And once you've put the balance, your own immune system will take care of the baddies well enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you leave a lot of your gut still intact. You just have to push the, you know, just pull out, it's like saying, pull out the big weeds, and the small weeds we can handle.
Yes.
But don't pull out every single weed. We need them too.
Yeah.
And so it's not antibiotics that are the bad guys. It's the abuse of the antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there are natural antibiotics. You know, people who eat a lot of garlic.
Yes. We'll come back to that, Sue, the natural antibiotics. I just wanted to check with you. Now, if we wipe out our gut biome, should we force ourselves to exercise? And then how should we restore the gut biome?
Yeah. This is a difficult question. If you're not motivated to run, must you run anyway until you achieve that high?
Yeah.
Well, if your gut microbes aren't doing what they should do, it's going to be a long, hard battle.
Yes.
And I don't know many people with enough of an iron will, you should say. Do you have the guts? Do you have the guts to run, we should say. It's not so much the will, it's the guts.
Mm-hmm.
I would say start with the gut because you're going to have the extra advantage of it will help you feel better, feel happier. You'll be making more serotonin. You'll be sleeping better.
Yes.
Anyway, you won't get stomach cramps. You won't have diarrhea. You won't have constipation.
Mm-hmm.
You may feel well enough to just say, let me try it this time.
Mm-hmm.
Or let me go to the gym to an aerobics class.
Yes.
You know, there everybody's jumping around you. You can't exactly sit out. And it's quite motivating to go to one of these.
The Pilates is not
Zumba
so
classes.
Intense.
Yeah. So I'd say try it. But if you genuinely feel really, really terrible the next day, you must know then, whoops, my thyroid has taken a knock. Look at the other symptoms of thyroid problems, you know, cold fingers. You don't have enough circulation. You may have a lack of oxygen. Remember me, I was lacking oxygen because I was causing an autoimmune problem in my body. And somehow the wheat antibody was attacking my hemoglobin. It still does this, you know. My blood levels are never as high as they should be. And I've now learned just to accept that. You can also take your iron supplements. They also give you gut problems, by the way. The best one is the homeopathic tissue salt called ferrum phos. You know, ferrum means iron, iron phosphate.
Yes.
And that is a very good one to take to get more oxygen in your body. So I would suggest you work it from two ways. Mm-hmm. You start getting moving, and you also feed up your body. Get that oxygen in. Mm-hmm. Get the probiotics in and see how far you go. Mm-hmm. There are also other things you can take called adaptogens.
Yes.
You know, we had people who used to talk about Prime One and adaptogens.
Yes.
You can get quite a lot of different adaptogen supplements. Mm-hmm. They're tablets you can buy from the Diskins and things called Ultima adaptogens. They all basically going to contain the ginseng and the rhodiola and all those plants that feed the adrenals, that build up your body. And the trouble with the thyroid, I know this gets very boring, but the thyroid is connected to the adrenal glands.
Yes.
If you keep stimulating your thyroid glands, it's like turning the light switch on all the time, but there's something wrong with the light bulb.
Okay.
And that's where the adrenal engine also has to be supported. And the best way to support the adrenal engine is with the adaptogens, and a very tasty, popular, easy one is licorice.
Okay.
Believe it or not, licorice is one of the sweets you can eat for endurance. It's fantastic for endurance.
Mm-hmm.
And also to balance aldosterone, which is your water controlling, the balance of water. Because if there's too much cortisol in your body from the stress, you tend to swell up.
Mm-hmm.
But the licorice helps to balance that one out. And there is the story that Napoleon used to make his soldiers march in the desert in the heat.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way they had the energy to be able to do so was he used to feed them with licorice.
Okay.
An army doesn't march on its stomach, it marches on its adrenals.
Yes. So lack of iron, you also mentioned vitamin B12 is also...
Yes, the two types of anemia. The pernicious anemia is when you lack the vitamin B12.
Yeah.
So your best anemia supplements contain the vitamin B12, and also the various forms of iron I find are not as effective, as I said. You know, the ferrous gluconate and the ferrous sulfate, they're quite harsh, and you might find disturbing things happening with your gut.
Okay.
And the ferrum phos is the safest one. And also increase your food. They say lamb is one of the best meats to eat to help anemics, and liver and things like that. I don't eat turkey things like that,
yes.
But it does help.
Yeah, but then again, we come with a blood type diet, because certain blood types, the lamb may not be good for them.
Absolutely, yes. But the blood type diets generally help you to identify what intolerances you have. And I think the reason that most people don't like blood type diets is because most of them say, well, wheat is not going to be beneficial for you.
Yes.
Unless, like, say, like you're a blood type A, yes. You're okay with wheat.
Yeah, but I don't think so, hey? I think...
Are you a non-secretor?
Yes, I think.
You know, that's the 20% of the A's. You're just going to be different.
Yes, they have to be different.
But, you know, generally where they tell the whole world to start your day on a slice of toast, they're only really talking to about 8% of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the blood type A that secretes the antigen that can handle the wheat.
Mm-hmm.
There are people like my husband.
Mm-hmm.
My son. And and this is where in families you say, well, why can't we all eat the same? It's going to be a nuisance. And this is what happens with the blood type. It becomes inconvenient. And before you know it, you're slipping back to, oh, if they're having breads, I'll also have it. And you don't realize, too, that within your joints, the protection, the cartilage on your joints is made of glucosamine. And again, there's a wheat-based antibody that attacks the cartilage on your joints. So the blood type thing is always, you know, square one. It's not going to cost you any money to get the information because it is on our website.
Yes.
And it's worth looking at to see what type of blood type you're dealing with. You know, the blood type O's are the meat eaters. They're the ones who can't handle the wheat, so they have meat but no wheat. There's the A types usually work with wheat but not much meat. They have the more the chicken and the gentler meats.
Yes.
But the person that can eat a hamburger,
yes,
which is a big lump of meat, a big slice of cheese, and two wads of wheat, mm-hmm, there isn't a human being on earth where the whole hamburger is compatible. And yet how many of us, especially now with all the load shedding and the blackouts, how many Mr. Deliveries are coming in with hamburgers?
Oh, yes.
I mean, I live in a housing complex and you hear the little scooter buzzing up and down, especially just after 6 o'clock.
Yes.
And if it's not delivering a hamburger, it's delivering a pizza.
Yes, both wheat and...
Yeah, but you know, you can get a gluten-free pizza.
Yeah.
But again, how many of the blood type O's can handle all that cheese?
Mm-hmm.
It's really only the blood type B. And this is very interesting about blood type B is what I call the dairy expert.
Okay.
And they are so good with cheese and yogurt and Amasi and all the gorgeous dairy products. We can have a look at it. They can live on it. Now, when you look at the gut makeup,
yeah,
of the different blood types, mm-hmm, you will find that the blood type B has got the predominance of the microbes are based and biased towards the lactobacillus, the milk-based things.
Okay.
And that is why you can pump them full of dairy products.
Okay.
So these doctors will say, oh, you've got allergies. Right, we're going to take out all the milk, we're going to take out all the wheat, we're going to take out all the fun. And they're dealing with a blood type B. At least,
but Sue, the milk that we have now, pasteurized and things, isn't that not too healthy?
Well, ideally, it's a bit of a problem, but
yeah,
the fermented milk is the number one where,
yes,
you are going to get your gut biome. If you're blood type B and you want to get your gut biome working, you can go mad on yogurt and Amasi and cottage cheese and the normal cheeses too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the dairy cheeses. You can go mad on those things, and it's going to do you the power of good. But stay away from the wheat.
Yes.
That's the problem. You're going to have to just be boring and eat rice and a few of the other grains that you can find.
Yes.
Quinoa and those ones these days, you get a lot of very, very nice alternatives. You know, some of the supermarkets are going out of their way to produce these most tempting, gorgeous alternatives to,
yes,
just about everything.
Yes.
But blood type B, I really do envy you.
Yes. Me too, I envy them.
Yeah.
So Sue, now we need to take probiotics and eat more fermented foods. But we can't just look at them. And I have another question concerning the fermented foods, because most of the fermented foods are salty. And if someone has high blood pressure, then they say, don't have lots of salt. So...
Oh, that's a very good point that you brought up, Suleika. Again, some of them are salty. Now, I've been experimenting with making pickles because when we went up last year to the countries in the Caucasus region, you know, between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea up there, they eat a lot of pickled food.
Yes.
You know, they're farmers and they have this too many carrots the one day and they got too many onions the other day and too many radishes, so they have pickles and they mix them in jars of pickles.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there may be a bit of salt in pickles, but it's predominantly vinegar.
Okay.
And to accelerate the fermentation process, I now take Himalayan salt, which is of course very rich in minerals and,
yes,
adds a lot of extra flavor.
Yes.
You're going to be brave and you're going to try and pickle onions and you're going to add a few slices of turnips and you're going to add a few slices of carrots and,
mm-hmm,
you're going to take some red and yellow peppers. You want to pickle all that.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing you do is you slice it into attractive pieces, mm-hmm. and then you throw in the Himalayan salt.
Yes, I also use Himalayan salt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, any salt. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even matter if it's buffalo salt,
okay.
you know, sodium chloride. Mm-hmm. But you put it in, and then you seal it off in the plastic, what we used to call a Tupperware. You know what that mm-hmm. is?
Yeah.
Like just an ice cream stick. You leave it, especially in the summer now, there's lovely hot sun. You let it sweat, and you turn it over, and you shake it around a few times, and you'll see a lot of liquid comes off
mm-hmm.
the vegetables. And they get soggy, sort of soft and soggy.
Mm-hmm.
This takes about 2 days with mm-hmm. the salt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're terrified of that salt, what you do is you rinse them in
okay.
cold water. Rinse them clean. And then you take your vinegar and your little bit of water and a bit of sugar.
Yeah.
And you heat it up. It's very hot. You
mm-hmm.
can also add your herbs, your favorite herbs. You can add some ginger to it and all sorts of things. Whatever
yeah.
you fancy. With some celery, some parsley, any old stuff. Garlic, I wouldn't. you know, you get just too much garlic when you eat a lot of pickles.
Mm.
But you basically get rid of the salt after what you call brining it.
Mm-hmm.
It produces this liquid. Now, if you're not scared of salt, you just add the vinegar, like
mm.
me.
yeah.
But if you want to get rid of that salt, pour it all off, rinse it if you must, and then you have to heat the vinegar. And you pour that on. And a little bit of sugar, a spoonful of sugar, remember,
yeah.
keeps the doctor away, makes the medicine go down. A little bit of sweetness, and the vinegar mustn't be quite so intense, otherwise they become unpleasant. So you dilute the vinegar with a bit of water and a bit of sugar, pour that on, leave it again, and by the next morning you've got your pickles. So you can do them over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you're having a little bit of cheese and your whatever bread suits you or your boring old rice cake, a few pickles and with homemade cottage cheese, which everybody can have a bit of cottage cheese, it's not going to hurt you because you have to feed up the microbiome with something.
Yeah.
Just remember that the whole no dairy for blood type O, you can push the boundaries with fermented Amasi milk
okay.
or yogurt. And again, you know, we've got our sauerkraut, that is also the salt and the cabbage. And
mm.
if you don't want to ferment too long in the salt, by all means, squeeze out all the salt and add just a little bit of vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
Or what I do is I like to buy pickled gherkins.
Okay.
And then you use that vinegar. It's a very nice, mild, ready-made pickle vinegar. I mix those ones up. But when you've got your pile of pickles and you've got some homemade cottage cheese, it's almost lunch. This is how these people eat in the Caucasus. They eat that with slices of tomato and cucumber.
Mm-hmm.
That's their lunch. And those who barbecue a bit of meat, that's what they eat. And, of course, the bread that they eat there is the sourdough.
Yeah,
you know, the
sourdough.
Yeast bread.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that produces the gluten and the aggravating quantities of the wheat.
Mm-hmm.
So their diet is extremely healthy. It's based on fermented food.
Yes.
The bread is fermented, the pickles are fermented, the dairy products are fermented.
Mm-hmm.
And that may explain why a lot of them live to over 100.
Yes.
And again, you know, they're not obsessed with exercise, but I'll tell you what they do a lot of. And this is probably their secret. They dance and they dance and they dance.
Okay.
And probably that is the nicest way to exercise. If you're all together and you're singing and you prancing around, and the dancers are very energetic, and they're living on the fermented food. I think they, the one country that has got the exact secret into getting these endocannabinoids working in their bodies.
Okay.
Because, you know, they are nice people. They're happy. They're not crabby people.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we're well on the way to discovering why.
Yes. I know that a lot of olives is also had, you know, when we go to Mecca and when we're opening our fast, then they have a special yogurt called Laban, and they'll
yes.
have it with a bit of bread, and they'll have olives and cucumbers. That's how most of them open our the fast from,
yes.
You know, the Arab countries or the Turkish, the thing, that's how they open their fast. yes. with olives
and the labneh. I love making that.
Yeah,
I can tell you how to make it.
Yes, you can tell us how to make it.
Yes. Now there again, just watch out the wheat worship. Make sure that the bread does suit you. And if you know how to do the muscle test, then you can easily test it.
Okay.
You know, that I have that demonstrated on my website.
Yes.
You'll see whether you resonate with the bread or not. Otherwise, just take some rice crackers with you, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure they won't mind. But that is, again, traditionally fermented foods. And they're beautiful. And that cheese, again, if you have milk, at boarding school we used to have a glass of milk. Mm-hmm. And I used to smuggle it out into my bedroom and allow it to set solid.
Mm-hmm.
And then pour the water off, add a bit of salt to that, and start making my own. And if you pour that into a cloth and drip all the water out, you start to concentrate the curds.
Mm-hmm.
And if you press on them and you push even more water out, you'll get a denser and a denser cottage cheese.
Mm-hmm.
These days, the easiest way to make it, honestly, Zuleika, is just to buy the Amasi.
Yes.
And you pour it into a cloth. You have to put a bit of salt in it. It's not like it's going to be saturated in salt,
yes.
but the salt draws the water out.
Out, yes.
Yeah, and then you have a bowl of brine at the bottom and you have the curds at the top. The longer you leave it in there, the more dense it's going to become. And then because it's in a cloth, you can start to form a little brick of it. You roll the pieces of cloth and pat them until it becomes a little wad of cottage cheese. Then if you put a weight on top of that and press down hard for another day, you've got to have patience, my darling.
Yes.
Then I wrap it up in a towel and I pour even more water out. It then becomes like putty.
Okay.
Then you just take a handful of that and roll it into little balls.
Yeah.
And that's what they call the labneh.
Okay.
I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's a little round thing of cheese. And you can keep that either in olive oil or in a mixture of the oil and the brine, like that.
Okay.
But it stays in that liquid, and you have that with the olives, and you have that with your bit of bread. You're making my mouth water.
Okay.
And then don't forget the dates afterwards.
Yes, dates. Yeah, they do have.
With the dates, too, you can also make a lovely date jam by chopping them up and allowing them just to ferment a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much, but just so that the microbes get going. And I'm sure that what applies to plants applies to us. They say, you know, when you're feeding the soil and you're adding compost to the soil, that it experiments with pot plants. And the more compost, the more microbes you put in the soil, the better the flowers, the better the foliage. The plants grow so much better according to the diversity. It's not so much the quantities, but also the diversity. So many different species in great quantities. You put that into your feeding structure and you get a better plant. So how about if you're doing that into your flower garden, your microbiome?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to feed it with all these delicious foods. And even small children, you know, they can acquire the taste. They get into the habit of having these foods. That, I mean, I know 5-year-olds, 3-year-olds that eat olives. Just make sure they're the pitted olives.
Yes.
Because olive pips can be nasty.
Yeah.
But you can also get olive paste called tapenade.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever tried that?
No.
You can get salted, fermented olives. There's many different dishes you can make. In the Mediterranean countries, they don't just pick olives and put them into plastic packets and call them Kalamata olives. There's many, many different things you can do with olives. And you can also put them into your bread.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ciabattas are all made of wheat. But anyway, you know, we talk like we're normal.
Yeah.
But let bread take a small part in your meal.
Yes.
And let these gorgeous new pickles that you're going to try and make. And I've got the recipes. I've put some of them. I've got a whole section on our website about fermented food.
Yes, I actually have got a copy in front of me.
Oh, you're cheating.
So one of the things that you mentioned in there is the raw salted lemon pickle. Is good for the liver.
Absolutely. You know, the oil on the skin of a lemon is called limonene.
Yes.
And that's almost like a super detergent. It can wipe out, like for gallbladder issues and that.
Yeah.
It breaks down fats and grease. and the lemon pickle itself, it's a one-day pickle. You just slice up the lemon very thinly. I love sitting there in the sun, and I squeeze the juice out, keep the juice apart, and just have the rinds with a little bit of salt, and you leave it in a dish covered by another dish in the sun. And by the evening, you can start eating it. Mm-hmm. And I know people, first thing in the morning, will actually eat a few pieces of that lemon pickle a day. And they get into an addictive high on the stuff. You know, between that and cottage cheese, they can get onto a foodie's high.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure these foods become addictive because they make you feel good.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's not just the sugar that makes your insulin go all mad and then you get addicted to the sugar. Rather become addicted to the different pickles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we so look forward to the weekends where we skip breakfast, and that's called intermittent fasting. You know, the longer you can go without food, and then you have a brunch at about 12 o'clock. You eat very early the day before, and then you go right through till the brunch. The meal that we break that big fast with is always pickles and cottage cheese. And whatever biscuits we can eat between us. So Jimmy gets his toast. And I get my rice cakes. But, you know, you just can't stop the different combinations. And then we make a salad. And sometimes we just take a whole lettuce leaf and we put the cottage cheese in there. We put the pickles on top of that. And we put the olives on top of that. And, of course, I love pickling chilies.
Okay.
I love my little bit of chili into that lot. And by the time you finish, you've got this big lettuce wrap.
All right.
And you find you're just eating cheese and pickles, cheese and pickles. So that's probably why our gut, my own, is so happy.
Okay.
And I do go running now. In the evenings, you know, we live in a housing complex, and I often have to go and check that all the gardeners have turned off hoses and things. So it's a big circuit that I run.
Yes.
And I'll say, right, Jimmy, I've got 10 minutes before I get back and start supper. I'm going for my run. I have to go for my run.
Okay.
So I'm back on that addictive loop.
Yes.
But
yes.
It's basically all these pickles telling me to run. And when I run, they support me and they give me more dopamine. Now, isn't
dopamine,
that a fantastic way to get healthy and happy and fit?
Yes. Sue, thank you very much. It's been a very interesting, unusual topic, and hopefully we all are going to be having better gut health
addicted
motivated to exercise and keep healthy.
Yes, but should anybody have problems, I'm at your service. Please just send me a private letter. We can discuss what your issues are. Don't be upset if I put you on quite a strong lot of discipline. But now here today we've been discussing pleasure with discipline.
Yes.
And these pickles will start talking to you. Your fermented foods will get to that microbiome. And before you know it, you're going to have more dopamine than you know what to do with. So if you can find a buddy and you can go running with them and support them, it's going to be lovely. But if you find they are distressed after the running, We have to look into what's causing it, and we have to help them.
Yeah.
Because some people are short of oxygen, especially our long COVID friends.
Yes.
And it may take more than just going running. I think when you do the pickles plus the running plus the probiotics. And when you're making your pickles, guys, put a few splashes of liquid probiotic into them.
Yes.
Break open a few capsules of your probiotics. Because they pickle beautifully, they divide and multiply in the jar.
You know, Sue, our parents and grandparents used to make a lot of pickle previously.
Yes.
Now it doesn't happen. But there used to be, if there's a wedding, then everyone get together and they end up cutting the vegetables for pickles. And
it was a must, but now
it's become a bit, it's not so popular, should I say. I mean, every
year.
Yeah,
but you can go buy some.
Yes.
And buy your sauerkraut and mix it with yogurt and get addicted to it. Put cumin seeds on top there and experiment with your flavors and have some fun. And, you know, we'll share all the new recipes and ideas that people have. But get yourself pickled, man.
Yes. Sue, thank you very, very much, and I'm thrilled that you have able to help with your gut, and you are no more
well,
resistance to exercise.
Yeah, plus the anemia, plus the thyroid issues I had, plus the adrenal collapse that I had. I was an absolute mess. By 9 o'clock, I was ready to go back into bed.
Okay.
So
okay.
I pulled myself out of the gutter, and I'm there to help you do the same.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. Alhamdulillah.
Okay.
Goodbye to everybody, and shukran. I hope you can listen to a recording of this talk again.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Thank you, Sue. Before we end off, that was Sue Fisser, and you can go to her website, www.naturefresh.co.za. There's lots of recipes on pickles, and hopefully this talk will also be on her website.